And even, by the way, even in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I think you had for today, depends of the translation, but in verse 11, most of the translation say something like, try to be perfect. Try to be perfect. Of course, that not is not interesting for us, and it's not very easy. But I remember somehow very easy that when Jesus came, he set up a standard for us, a divine standard. Therefore, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I have a question. Can we negotiate this or not? So this is the standard. If we want to do his will, if we want to be with him, we need to be perfect like he is perfect. From my point of view, it's finished. We don't have a chance. But you told me that God won't change his standard for me, or for my wife, or for my family, or for you. So then I said, well, here's the standard, the divine standard. But I have a big problem. The real situation is that I am a sinner. I cannot do anything to be like him. And the biggest problems beside me is that even the law, with all the sacrifices, couldn't make anyone perfect. And you should take the time, look in Hebrew 10, and Paul will explain us that the law, the sacrifices, which were good, came from God, didn't have the power to make us perfect. So, what's my chance? Can I still hope to be with God and to be in heaven and so forth? And my question was, well, do we need to change the law? And then I said, no, we don't need to change the law. We just needed to wait to came the time when it will be fulfilled what the law said. Because in God's law, there was a promise. In the fulfillment of the time, there will come somebody, the only one, the Son of God, and he will be the sacrifice, and he will be the savior that will make us perfect. Look there, it's wonderful. So here is another reason to celebrate the coming, the life, the sacrifice, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the only way that will put me and you in that place where God would be pleased with me. So we have the standard, we cannot change it. We have the situation, the real situation. We are sinners, we don't have a chance. And then we have the savior, we have the solution from God. Then, after the solution, you came to Hebrews 11. No, 10 from 19. 10 from 19. Can you put the verse on the screen, please? Hebrews 11, 10, 19. Okay, we wait a little bit. You have your Bibles. Because from my point of view, what is happening here, after explaining all these things, Paul said, therefore, Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus. He's the solution. And now comes, in a way, our sufferings. He suffered for us. Now we need to pay the price to stay with him, to remain in him, to remain in that situation that will keep us on our way to perfection until the day we will see him and we will be like him. And maybe we just read, you know, second verse, the next one. By a new living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. Go on. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, okay, let us draw near to God. How? Sincere heart. Is it so easy? Okay, I won't ruin your morning. Just underline there, God did his part. He paid in Christ for us. That was the price. So when I need to work for a sincere heart, is that a too big a price for me to pay? Sincere hearts, full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure. This is easier for us than for the Hebrew people, you know. Today it's easier to take a shower. Okay, go on. Let us hold to what? To the hope we. Do we still profess it? I don't think that it's a mystery that we are here on earth to speak about Jesus. We are his witnesses, and we need to share, to witness. My question is, the church still has a voice in the society? Are we still trying to be the light? The salt? In my understanding, I see a small difference. In the first century, the enemies couldn't stop the Christian speaking. Whatever means they use, they said, we cannot be silent. It seems that today we can be silent. We don't have a problem with that. Doesn't matter what happens around us, it seems that we can be silent. Really? So Christ paid for us to be his voice, to bring a testimony. And let me tell you something very clear. A Christian should never be blamed on hate speech, because we speak only from the love of Christ. Praise be to God. But in love, we need to speak the truth. And brothers and sisters, doesn't matter how the world changes. As long as we want to have a relationship with God, we should speak about sin, we should speak about repentance, we should speak about faith, we should speak the Bible. Amen? So Paul said, let us hold to that. And there is one more thing that I would like you to think about. We speak with Christian loves, and then verse 26, I believe. Can you put it there, please? Okay. If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. And you know the story. Paul says here, if you want to stay with God, if you want to show appreciation for what Jesus did on the cross, stop. Stop what? Sinning. Well, at least in our country, when you speak about the sins that you do willingly, how do you say? Yeah. It's a big issue, you know. In the last time, I was wondering, is that a very big mystery? And I'll ask you some questions. I grew up in the church, yeah? I heard all my life that I need to repent for my sins. And I took the decision, I won't repent. What kind of sin is this? Really? Well, because it's very bad from that point of view. If I willingly say no, that means that for me, there is no other sacrifice. Then I start very early in my life hearing about baptism. And I decided I won't get baptized. What kind of sin is this? Yeah, sure. Well, then I heard about not lying, not cheating, not gossiping, and so on many times. And I decided I will continue with this. What kind of sins were those? Yeah? You really want to be hard on me, Dimas? It's good because I like this all the time. When someone is telling me, I enjoy it so much because I said, well, write it down, send it to me, and keep a copy for yourself. Just in case. If it's the same Bible, and if it's the same God and the same heaven, then keep a copy for yourself. Send one to me and keep something for you too. Well, I don't want to get into this, but I'll dare to ask you, brothers, do you remember somewhere in the Bible, God telling you to love your wife? It's such a passage in the Bible, to love your wife. As Christ loved the church, really? And if you don't do this, what kind of sin is this? Intentional? Intentional? Do I really want to destroy your morning? I'm just thinking if I want to bring the submission subject now. No, I don't think it's submission to your husband. No, that's old fashioned. Don't go into this. My question is not if you are trying, but you cannot do. That's something different. My question is if I don't want to, if I don't care. For instance, the Bible says very clearly, all the women should do what? No. Forget about submission. Should do what? All the women should teach young women to do what? To destroy their husbands, to do what? Oh, to mentor others and to tell them to love their husbands, first of all. And the order is very clear. First of all, to love their husband and then love their children. Or the other way around. I know the English version, you know, modern English version. So my question, if you know this, because in my point of view, in my opinion, if you are 35 and she's 25, you are older than her. You have at least 10 years more experience with God than her. You don't care. You You don't care about her, about her life, about her marriage. If you intentionally don't want to do this, what kind of sin is this? Maybe you will think, well, is something like this possible? Well, look in Hebrew. Go to verse 32, please. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light. Do you remember them? It's about your life. You are walking with God. Your decision, your sacrifices. When you paid the price and you were still happy. So my question is, for some of you old like me, if in our early life, early years, we could pay the price, we could work with God, we could be serious and so on, why not today? I heard this in Romania so many times. Pastor Iuga, when I was young, when we were young, we did this and this. And since I don't hear very well, I said, if I understand well, when God was young. I said, no, I was young. So I said, God didn't change? No. So who changed? Why do we speak only from the past? Why do we live there? When we were young, God did something. What about today? For you old people, it's an honor to be old, by the way. And I told the old people, if they don't want to get old, they should die today. Yeah, if they don't want to get old, that's easy. I know the way. Maybe we need to take some time to think when we first started to walk with Jesus. And maybe some of us should repent and go back with that first love. Amen? And the sacrifices and everything. And then remember others, because it's not you, only you. We have that crowd of witnesses that are looking from heaven and said, you can do it. You should pay the price because the glory, the reward is so big. Doesn't matter how big is the price you pay there, the reward will be greater. Paul said, we don't have even terms of comparing, you know, what you suffer here and what you get on the other side. So, what we should do? I think we need to remember that we have a standard, a divine one. God won't change his standard for nobody. We should become perfect. That's only with him, in his power, with the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us, digging, as Daniel said, in the Word of God. We have a Savior, we have a solution. So, we need to pay the price. It's not a big price. And we can do it if we lay on him. And when the lady quote from Isaiah 53, and we all love it, by his wounds we are healed. What about by the wounds of the wife be healed the husband? No, that's not good. What about by the wounds of the parents be healed the children? By the wounds of the husbands, be healed the wives. By my wounds, be healed those outside the church. I praise God for this time of remembering. if he wouldn't let himself be wounded, will never stand a chance. We are here because someone, the perfect one, was wounded for us, was murdered for us. That's the narrow way to heaven. Of course, we love the highway. And we still have a thing. There is a highway to heaven. Good. I love it. From my point of view, if I can choose it, if it will be my way to heaven will be 124 lanes to heaven. Well, Jesus chose another way, a narrow path, and a cross daily. But I'm so glad that I'm not alone. I have him and I have you. So let us love him, love one another, and help each other to work on our perfection. Amen.